Now, Steve Coleman from the Socialist Party.
Thank you, Comrade Chairman, comrades and friends. Let me try to summarise in two sentences what this debate is really about. The Socialist Party states that we cannot have socialism or communism, which, as far as we are concerned, mean the same thing, until a majority of workers understand and want socialism. And our opponents, the Communist Workers' Organisation, state that a majority of workers will never understand and want socialism under the conditions of capitalism, because most workers are incapable of developing such a degree of understanding. Well, my comrade Buick here, speaking for the Socialist Party, has argued the case against the CWO on that. He's argued the case of the Socialist Party about why we think the majority of workers can develop socialist understanding. That is our view. We'll leave the delegate for Highgate Cemetery to argue his own case in his own words. We are arguing the view of the Socialist Party, not the view of Marx. If we want to use Marx, we'll use Marx. And when we decide we don't want to use Marx, we'll dispense with him. Now, what I propose to do is to accept for the moment that the Communist Workers' Organisation is right. I mean, I was listening to my opponent. He sounds like he knows what he's talking about. Let's assume that he's right. I think he's wrong, actually. I agree with him. But let's assume that the Communist Workers' Organisation is right, and the working class never will develop a socialist understanding. Well, what are we going to do about this problem? We can't hope to establish a genuine, voluntary socialist society without there being a majority of socialists who know what socialism is. And yet, according to the CWO analysis, the majority of workers under capitalism can never hope to understand the need for socialism. Well, what are we going to do about that? Let's assume that it's right. Well, if I held the analysis of the CWO, I would give up advocating socialism. I would give up being a socialist. I would take up a hobby. And that's what I would suggest. Yeah, well, that's what I would suggest that my opponents do. If they think the working class aren't ever going to understand, so take up a hobby. Don't, you know, I would sit at home making chicken dance acts and going out on bicycle rides and that sort of thing. I wouldn't sit around waiting for socialism, because the working class wouldn't be capable of wanting it and understanding it under capitalism. But this is not the position of the Communist Workers' Organisation. The CWO is actually committed to how they would run socialism without a majority of socialists. In other words, what the CWO want to do, and I'll point this out in the brief time available to me, is they want to play and win a game of rugby with a team who don't know the rules of rugby. And they think, quite seriously, that this is going to result in some kind of victory for socialism. This is how they put it themselves in their journal, Revolutionary Perspectives, number 13. I think that's what it's called, isn't it? Revolutionary Perspectives.
It's the title.
That's
the way you say it.
Eh?
Well,
I don't know, you know, revolution. How are you meant to say it? In French? I know the CWO have a liking for putting things in French. Perspectives revolutionnaire. They say it is the Communist Party, the advance guard of the class. You can tell that because they can pronounce the title of their own paper. It is the Communist Party, the advance guard of the class, which will organise and lead the revolutionary insurrection and the major actions of the proletariat throughout the transition period. Now, this tells us three things about the CWO. First of all, socialism is not going to be brought about by a majority of workers who know what they're doing. It's going to be brought about by an advance guard. Who is the advance guard? Them. And some of the people who they agree with, who they call members of the milieu, which we're sort of halfway in and halfway out. The ICC are definitely not in it. And they're all fighting amongst each other about who the vanguard are. So it's going to be brought around by a minority.
Secondly, this minority is going to achieve power by an insurrection, which is, of course, the only way a minority could achieve power. They couldn't do it democratically. They have to do it by an insurrection. And I would be very glad to hear from my opponent when he gets up precisely how the minority is going to defeat the armed power of the capitalist state. I mean, you know, they talk at the moment, my opponent talks in the Prince Albert on a Saturday night about winning a civil war. You know, there are guys standing downstairs every night in the Prince Albert talking about winning a civil war. Let's hear the details, the military plans. How is this minority going to win this civil war when the vast majority of workers aren't socialists? They don't even understand what the victory would be about. They're quite indifferent to the battle. Communist Workers' Organization, the Advance Guard, are going to fight and win this civil war. I'd be interested in the military secrets. And thirdly, we also discover from this statement that once a revolution is won, the leaders are not going to go away. They never do. Oh no, they are going to organise the first stage of the new system. See? The Communist Party is going to lead the revolutionary insurrection and the major actions of the proletariat throughout the transition period. Well, what's this new system going to be like? Well, luckily for us, the Communist Workers' Organization has published details of how the early days of the new system are going to be organized. After all, they're going to lead it, so they know what it's going to be like. In 1974, a few of them sat around a table and they drew up a plan for what they call the period of transition, which is here. I've read it so that, and I would advise you all to read it, so that in the outcome of the Civil War, you'll know what to expect. Well, what's it going to be like, this socialism, which is going to be established by a minority insurrection on behalf of a majority of workers who are unconscious? Well, in fact, it's quite simple. It is going to be non-socialist. You can completely forget the idea that the Communist Workers' Organization and the Socialist Party are aiming for the same thing, but we're both going according to different roads. Forget that. It's going to be quite different. Let's have a look at what this socialism that they write about is going to be like. Well, first of all, there is going to be a proletarian state, because we are warned by the Communist Workers' Organization on page 19 that it's an anarchist fallacy to suggest that the state will be abolished immediately in a communist society. Now, we are then told by the Communist Workers' Organization, I quote, two of the first state organs to be created will be militias and the Revolutionary Anti-Terrorist Organization. Now, what they don't mention, but of course it follows quite logically from this, is that the new state will need courts. Because after all, if you're going to have anti-terrorist organizations, you know, you've got to have courts to try the buggers in. So you're going to have judges under this new state. And also, you're going to need prisons. Because if you're going to have a militia, a proletarian state militia, unless offenders against the state are going to be dealt with by shooting them on the spot because trials and courts are regarded as a bourgeois fetish, you're going to have prisons. And in the transition period, we have no details from the CWO about how the proletarian prisons are going to be organised. And of course, it would be rather harsh to put people into prison and shoot them and send them to court for disagreeing with the proletarian state when they didn't even set up the proletarian state in the first time. They won't even know they're acting against the interests of socialism because they're not socialists. Well, the Communist Workers' Organization have an answer, which they put in this Revolutionary Perspectives, April 1979. I don't know if it was written on April the 1st. They say, look, don't worry. As long as you're a worker and not a member of another class, the new proletarian state will be acting in your interests. So don't worry, but wait a minute before you stop worrying, because I've got some bad news for you. According to the Communist Workers' Organization, if you're a white-collar worker, you're not a member of the proletariat. This is on page 22. So the Communist Workers' Organization has decided that, I quote, foremen, clerks and supervisors of all sorts, unquote, will have to be, I quote, integrated into productive work, unquote, so that they can, I quote again, serve the dictatorship, unquote. So if you are now a clerk in a shipping office, the CWO is telling you, first of all, you're not a member of the working class because you don't directly produce wealth. They hold this crude view that the only producers of wealth are people who directly produce surplus value. A lot of nonsense. Secondly, they tell you that when the new state takes power, you will be forced to engage in direct production. In fact, to quote directly from the Communist Workers' Organization, this statement here, from the first day of the revolution, the factory committees must wage a ruthless struggle against the unproductive strata within the factories. So the women workers in the typing pools, ICI, had better be ready for the proletarian militia to come in and drug them out of these unproductive strata into the factories. Incidentally, the factories would stop within about a week because without the administrative workers, you can't actually run these things. And this is what would happen. So there is going to be a state in the Communist Workers' Organisation Society. There is going to be a ruthless struggle against office workers, which no doubt petrifies office workers. What else has this Communist Workers' Organisation got to offer us in the early days of a socialist society? Well, there is going to be money, and there are going to be wages, features of a capitalist society. We are told that the state will expropriate the banks, very nice of them, I quote, as a step towards a permanent abolition of the commodity money. But in the meantime, and here we get it, I quote, the proletariat must introduce generalised remuneration in the form of labour time cards. In short, in this new proletarian state, you will be given ration cards, and these will be given to you according to how much you work, and you will only be able to buy access to goods and services by spending your labour vouchers. You will have a monetary system. You'll have a wages system. You'll have buying and selling. The CWO admit all of this is going to happen during their transition period. Well, you might think this isn't too bad. After all, you've got to take a hard time before you get the good time. It's only the transition period. How long will it last? Well, the CWO never wants to leave the future to sort itself out. They've actually told us on page 24 exactly how long the transition period is going to last for. It says, I quote, "Its duration is obviously no short period, but one of at least a generation." In other words, if my opponents and their friends in the advance guard were to establish socialism on behalf of the non-socialist working class next year, then according to their own prediction, we'll be living in a society where there will be a coercive state, there will be a militia, there will be prisons, there will be courts, there will be money, there will be labour vouchers and rationing, all of the features of state capitalism, until well into the next century. And that's if they achieve power tomorrow. And we've been going for 80 years, but there are only 20 of them. Fortunately for us, the Communist Workers' Organization is indulging in an infantile historical fantasy. It is a hobby, in fact, for people who don't think that the working class are ever going to reach socialist understanding. People who think that a classless, stateless, moneyless, wageless world society isn't something that their fellow workers can understand. They indulge themselves in these historical fantasies. But let me conclude by being very clear in telling our opponents that if their proposition about working class consciousness is correct, then there will be no socialism, because there will be no socialist to set it up, there will be no socialist to run it. What they have, in fact, is a recipe for state capitalism. And to ignore the fact that workers can understand the case for socialism. Maybe the reason they think that workers can't understand the case for socialism is because no one ever bloody listens when they're talking. If that's what they do when socialists are talking, you can understand why they think people can't understand the case for socialism. To ignore that fact is, at the moment, to advocate a diversionary fantasy. But we have to remember that this is the ideological foundation for state capitalist dictatorship and we should be under no illusion whatsoever that the Communist Workers' Organisation are communists, that they are on the side of the working class, or indeed that they could introduce any kind of democratic organisation. They in fact stand for a state capitalist dictatorship over the proletariat, regardless of their own hopes that the predictions which they quite clearly lay out will not lead to what they say they will lead to.